Blog Talk Radio.
Fasten your seatbelts and put your foot on the gas. The Red Light Sports Network presents the Red Light Sports Ramble.
They say it's cool and that, but they probably don't really think it's that cool.
With Troy Otradovic.
He is really good.
And Evan Witalison.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Red Light Sports Ramble. I am Troy Otradovic, joined by the spectacular Evan Witalison out of the great state of Wisconsin. I just talked to you, buddy, and so I'm still going to ask you, though, so our loyal listeners can hear, how was your day today?
My day was great. It's another great day, another day, great day to be alive. I feel blessed, as I always do, and I'm looking forward to a great show, talking some more Green Bay Packers, talking some baseball, talking some Hope Solo, some news about Hope Solo broke. I'm going to talk about that a little bit. So I'm excited to do another show, and I just want to encourage listeners once again, shoot me an email if you're interested in trying to lose some weight or would like some help, coachevan66@gmail.com, coachevan66@gmail.com. Shoot me an email and let me talk to you, and I can give you some ideas on what to do, how to do it, and I'll gladly give you a hand with that. So coachevan66@gmail.com. So as I said, things are going great. We have a sound clip to play today to talk about involving the Packers. It's from Mike Florio from Pro Football, from NBC Sports, I'm sorry. And then, like I said, some baseball and Hope Solo talk. So before we do go into that, I'm going to throw it to you, Troy. How are things going for you?
Well, as I said, I just talked to you, so I'll fill our loyal listeners in. And we had kind of hinted on this last week. Evan and I just recorded our first, session or episode. For WXED 107.3 in Elwood City, a community radio station in Western PA. So we're kind of jacked up about that. I hope you got enough fluid in you, Evan. We talked pretty much nonstop for 1 hour for that show. It was great. And so now we get to roll right into our Red Light Sports Ramble show. And like you said, we got a great show set up for tonight. A lot of great things on store. We're going to touch on a few different sports. It is Wednesday night. That is our traditional Twitter talk night. So a lot of stuff going on in the sports world, Evan. Definitely going to throw it right back, and we might as well get into this Green Bay Packer soundbite you've talked about, and let's discuss that.
Yeah, so Mike Laurier was on a local Milwaukee sports show called The Big Show with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Roy Butler, Gary Ellison, and Rami Macball, two of the names you all might recognize as former Green Bay Packers greats. So he was on the show, talked about a lot of things, talked about some PED scandal. He personally doesn't feel there's anything to worry about when it comes to this PED investigation by the NFL. He also talked about the Hall of Fame game. And then he talked about Mike McCarthy and Ted Thompson. And, this hit the airwaves today. Big hot topic all day today on all their shows, and I'm going to play it for you. And I want to get your thought on this, Troy. I want to get your thought on what Mike he had to say.
Yeah, I mean, right or wrong, I feel like if the Packers had a traditional owner, Thompson and McCarthy would have both been fired by now, because a traditional owner can roll out of bed any given day and say, that's it, I've had enough. I've got Aaron Rodgers for a finite number of years. He's the best quarterback right now in the NFL. We don't pursue free agency as aggressively as we should. We're not getting it done in the regular season. Mike McCarthy's too loyal to Dom Capers. Whatever argument you want to make, if it's Jerry Jones, Daniel Snyder, anybody else other than a board of directors and a CEO, I think Mike McCarthy and Ted Thompson are gone by now, and they've done just enough. Because, look, they're competitive every year. They contend every year, but so was John Fox in Denver. And, sometimes getting close every year and not getting it done is worse than just, you know, kind of scrounging around trying to make it to the playoffs, because it creates that letdown every year. And the depression is worse every year when it finally ends. And I feel like with the Packers, every year since they've won the Super Bowl, they've been expected to get back to the Super Bowl. And they've been able to get back to the playoffs, but they haven't been able to deliver on that promise. And again, hey, look, maybe the Packers are doing it the right way. Maybe it's good to contend every year. There's only one team that's going to be happy when it's all said and done. The other 31 are all going to be wishing that it was their year. And the Packers have been in the conversation every year, but I just feel like if there was a traditional owner in Green Bay, both guys would be gone.
So if there's a traditional owner in Green Bay, both guys would be gone. And people, and I'm a diehard Packer fan, so you know that. And our listeners know that. You and I both, we're diehard Packer fans. But the thing is, we're going to be truthful. We're going to tell it how it is. You know, this was said today, and people, I mean, yesterday, I'm sorry, it was said on the 23rd of August, and today it's talked about. And you would have thought somebody, you know, kicked someone's dog with the way people are reacting to it. A lot of the people. And I don't agree with a lot of what this gentleman has to say. But here's the thing. He never said he would fire Mike McCarthy and Ted Thompson. He said if they had a traditional owner, that they would both likely be gone. But the thing is, I love the Packers, but there's some Packer fans out there that are just very sensitive. They're very sensitive. Anything you say that isn't rainbows and butterflies and puppies about the Packers, they think you're dissing their team. I don't think people quite understood what he said. And here's the key. If the Packers had a traditional owner, McCarthy and Thompson would have been gone a long time ago. He brings up a good point. Look at Denver with John Fox. John Fox is winning in Denver. They got rid of John Fox. Tony Dungy winning in Tampa Bay. Guess what? Tony Dungy got fired. Andy Reid winning out in Philly has one or two down years. He gets fired. All those teams have owners. Jerry Jones forced out Jimmy Johnson, and Jimmy Johnson was winning Super Bowls. So when you have an owner and not a board of directors, when you have one guy that makes that decision, yeah, there's a good chance that likely McCarthy and Thompson might be out of Green Bay right now. To me, that is what he was saying. He wasn't being critical of Thompson. He wasn't being critical of McCarthy. He was stating what an owner would do if an owner was there. And if you think about it, 2007, they're at the cusp of the Super Bowl. They don't quite get there. Then the next year they finish 6-10 in Aaron Rodgers' first year starting. 2010, they win the Super Bowl. 2011, they go 15-1, lose in the playoffs. 2012, lose in the playoffs. 2013, lose in the playoffs. 14, lose in the playoffs. Not only in the playoffs, but lose in the NFC Championship game. In 2015, lose in the playoffs. So owners eventually would get tired of that and make changes. Daniel Snyder or Jerry Jones or one of those guys were there, then, that's where I believe he was going. I don't think it was a shot at McCarthy and Thompson or a shot at the Green Bay Packers. So what are your thoughts on this little soundbite that I caught?
Yeah, when I look at it, Evan, he was – we've said this a million times. We're going to give it to you, and you may agree or disagree with us. It'll make for a great debate. So I'm not going to disagree with part of this. The part that he says about contending, not getting there into disappointment. You and I discussed this on the show, I think, about a year ago. Is it enough? Is it enough that you make the playoffs with a chance to win the Super Bowl but don't, or do you go and sell the farm and win it one year and just never make the playoffs or make it every couple of years? I hear what he's saying. And to be honest, like you said, you have to listen to the context. He didn't say, I think Mike McCarthy's doing a bad thing and blah, blah. He simply stated, if there was an owner, they probably would have been gone. And you know what? I don't disagree with them. Because owners are fickle. Owners only care about the money. They only care about the Super Bowl trophy. And honestly, Evan, in the playoffs, the Packers have not gotten it done lately. And I can't disagree with what he said. Now, the reality of the situation is there is no owner. There is a board of directors. There is some loyalty there. They're not aggressive in free agency. Mike McCarthy has been loyal to Dom Capers. That's the reality. But if you're going to play this game, if there was a real owner there, I wouldn't doubt that Mike McCarthy would probably be gone. We talked about Dom Capers and the defensive struggles a few years back. I guarantee you, had there been a traditional owner, Dom Capers, Mike McCarthy would have had a decision to make. Either you go or Dom Capers goes. That would have been the decision that the owner gave him. I'm glad they didn't get rid of Dom Capers. I think he's done some good things. You had mentioned, I think, a few months back, maybe sometimes they're getting vanilla and a change might not be a bad thing. I wouldn't have disagreed with you there. But at the end of the day, when you listen to the soundbite, what he's saying is absolutely true. Green Bay is a unique franchise without an owner. We are blessed, Evan, that we are in contention every year. But isn't it disappointing when we don't win the Super Bowl or get to the Super Bowl? Yes. Because you look at the way the team is built and you have Aaron Rodgers as one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. So you should be in contention every year, and you got to put the pieces around him to be competitive year in and year out. And when they lose in the playoffs, it is heartbreaking. And you think that this team can go to the Super Bowl. And I know we have not done our predictions yet, so I'm not going to let the cat out of the bag where I think the Packers are going to be this year or how far I think they're going to go in the playoffs. But I can't disagree with what he's saying. I really believe that the board of directors looks at it from the standpoint of consistency, competitiveness, and that's where the Packers have been. You put the real owner in there that is only worried about money and winning Super Bowls, Mike McCarthy, gone. That's my thought.
Yeah, you know, it looks like we're in agreement there. And I just, like I said, it's like Packer fans are super sensitive sometimes. And I'm a Packer fan myself. But criticism can happen without, quote, hating on your team. It's allowed. You can be critical. It's constructive criticism. You can do it. So the next thing I want to share, Hope Solo said some very not nice things after the U.S. women's team lost to, I forget which team they put lost to be honest, but basically she called the team gutless and cowards. So Hope Solo suspended for the next 6 months from the U.S., U.S. Soccer team. But of course, she also is talking about that her contract has been terminated as well. And here's a quote from Hope Solo. Quote, "For 17 years, I dedicated my life to the U.S. women's national team and did the job of a pro athlete the only way I knew how, with passion, tenacity, and unrelenting commitment to be the best goalkeeper in the world, not just for my country, but to elevate the sport for the next generation of female athletes. In those commitments, I have never wavered, and with so much more to give, I am saddened by the Federation's decision to terminate my contract. I could not be the player I am without being the person I am. Even when I haven't made the best choices or said the right things, my entire career I have only wanted the best for this team, for the players in the women's game, and I will continue to pursue these causes with the same unrelenting passion with which I play the game." So, Solo has the right to be saddened. And she still says she's going to dedicate to helping the game of women's soccer, which is good for her. Thing is, and here's the argument I'm hearing, Trent, with Hope Solo being suspended. Freedom of speech. She has freedom of speech. This is America. First Amendment rights. Freedom of speech. Well, here's the thing. I don't think the majority of people realize what exactly the First Amendment does, the freedom of speech, I don't think they realize what exactly it does, Troy. The freedom of speech protects you from being persecuted or prosecuted by the government for things that you say or write, and it gives you the freedom of religion. It does not protect you from a private employer from punishing you for saying what you said. It protects you from the government. She said something very stupid. It's not the first time, likely not the last time. She had the whole issue with the domestic abuse claim that she had a couple years back as well. So, does it suck for Hope Solo? Yes, it sucks for her. But at the end of the day, she's got no one to blame but her mouth. Now, should her contract have been terminated and should she have been suspended for 6 months? Maybe a little overkill. I would say that. Might have been a little overkill there. But at the end of the day, it just some things don't have to be said. And she decided to, as I said, open her mouth. So what are your thoughts on Hope Solo? Do you think that the suspension is warranted? As I said, I don't think the suspension is necessary. The how long it was is necessary per se, but I also, you know, she got what was coming to her. So what is your thought on that?
Well, Evan, I'm going to tell you this. The Federation has some balls, and I'm sorry to say it that bluntly. And I'm going to preface this and reference something else in a little bit. They wanted to make a statement. They wanted to say that this is unacceptable behavior. And guess what, Evan? By doing this to one of the best goaltenders in the world, and I'll ask this question, Evan, then I'll get back into the rest of what I have to say. I'm going to ask you this question bluntly. With this happening to Hope Solo, do you think that there's going to be another American player that makes some cocky, manny comment after a loss?
I think they're going to check what they say publicly at the door now.
I believe that's why it was done. And that's why I said the Federation has some gall. They've got the kahunas. It is not easy to terminate Hope Solo's contract. She is one of the best goalkeepers in the world. They didn't like what she did. They thought it was, you know, against what they believe in. And boom, they lowered the hammer on one of the best players, and a player that won a lot of games for them. Now, do I think that they should have done that? No. I don't think they needed to terminate her contract. I don't think they needed to let's put it this way. I would have been okay with a six-month suspension from play. I don't think they should have terminated her contract. I mean, that to me is the extreme part, and that's why I said, man, they've got the kahunas. The suspension, I would be okay with. If you don't like it, you want to prove a point, great, 6 months. But the Terminator contract, Evan, I think that's going overboard just a little bit. But, man, they proved their point. Which leads me to what we talked about last night. The Federation, a woman's federation for soccer, doesn't like something that a player says, Evan, and they put the hammer down. Why can't the NFL do that? Why can't the NFL, if they want to make a point, go over the edge and do something like this? I know there's a players' union and all that stuff, but you're talking about the U.S. Soccer Federation. They didn't like it. They put the hammer down, and as I just said, I think they went overboard, but I'm telling you what, nobody else, and now I shouldn't say nobody else ever will, but I think you said it correctly. They are going to think before they talk. And that is what the Federation was trying to prove. So, Evan, why can't the NFL have the kahunas to do what the Federation did and go overboard with one player and take the heat for a little bit, because I guarantee it won't happen again? That's what I want to say to you and have you chime in. Why will the NFL never do something this outrageous?
Well, it's because the NFL is a money-driven league. They're driven by money. They're not going to do anything that could cost them some money. So let's say they suspend, let's say they suspend a top superstar for something that they did. If it's something that could cost them money, they're not going to do it. Does it make it right? No. So don't think I'm just defying what the NFL's doing. But that's what the NFL is looking at. It's all about the money. The NFL is all about the money. And when your superstars are being suspended for them being stupid, then it hurts them. They're not worried about the brand being hurt, Trump. They're not worried about the NFL shield being hurt. Because here's the thing. At the end of the day, fans are still going to watch. The only way the NFL will stop and make a statement like you just talked about is if the fans stopped watching. But guess what? The fans are not going to stop watching. They're not. They're going to still watch. And while they're watching, guess what? They're still going to make money. Now, we do have to talk some baseball. We haven't talked baseball in a while. And, Kansas City Royals, 9-1 over their last 10. They're surging right now, 65-61, 7.5 games behind. The question I have for you, Troy, for Kansas City, is it too little, too late, or do you think they have a shot at getting into the playoffs?
Well, I don't think it's too late. I don't. The problem is that they put themselves in such a hole earlier in the season, and 9-1 over the last 10, they're going to literally have to start winning at a 60-70% clip in 10 games. So they're going to have to win 6 or 7 out of each of their 10 and hope that the teams in front of them play 500 ball. The problem they have is they can keep winning, but they still have, I believe it's 4 teams that they have to jump over. And you're also running into a problem, Evan, in the American League, that you have that big battle going on in the AL East with Baltimore, Toronto, and Boston. And literally, I put in the preview, you could see all the two wild cards come out of the AL East, the way that division is rocking and rolling right now. The way that the wild card is shaping up today, that's the way it would be. Whoever wins the division is the division winner. The other two teams are the wild card. So the problem the Royals are going to face, Evan, they can keep staying hot and they can keep getting hot. They just have to jump over other teams and hope that none of those other teams get hot. So I don't want to say it's too late, because I don't think it's ever too late when I think you will. Do you have the standings in front of you? I think they're 4.5 back of the last wild card.
They're five back today.
And they have, I believe, 4 teams in front of them yet, or 3 teams in front of them before the second wild card. One of the two. So
2 teams in front of them.
Two teams. Okay. So
no, sorry. They have. Never mind. I'm sorry. They have 5 teams ahead of them. Well, okay. It's kind of weird because Boston and Toronto are tied right now for the division, so it's just kind of hard to see. So technically 5 teams ahead of them. They have Boston, Toronto, Baltimore, Seattle, Detroit, and Houston all ahead of them for the wild card.
Yeah, and so like I'm saying, Evan, one of those teams gets hot right along with them, they're not going to make up any ground. They got a lot of teams in front of them. So if they would make the playoffs, it would almost be a minor miracle. Now, if they even if they go to 9-1 clip, I mean, you're looking at all these other teams can't be matching that, because if any of those teams in front of them are matching the hot streak, they're not going to gain ground on them. It's a great story to see here at the end of the season. It makes us have great topics to talk about and to see these great races, because honestly, Evan, the rest of the divisions outside of the AL East and the NL West, they're pretty much done. I mean, 6 games. 6 games is like the closest division outside of those two. So really, I mean, can you make up 6 games between now and the end of the season? Sure, you could. But 6 games, it doesn't seem like a lot, but it really is. Games is a lot of games to make up. And so those other divisions, in my mind, are
pretty close to being wrapped up, even though mathematically they're not. But I'll tell you what, that AL East battle is going to be a good one, Evan. Really exciting to see that come down here to the end. We haven't had a good battle out there for a while, in my mind, and this is one that's going to, I think, seesaw back and forth throughout the rest of the season. But the Royals are a good story right now. I just, like I said, they've got to keep winning and hope. And it's never good when you're in a playoff race to put your hopes in other teams that they're going to lose, because you have to still win. But, hey, 9-1 in their last 10, you got to give them credit.
Yeah, definitely. I'm looking at the time. Don't have a lot of time left, but you know, looking at the different divisions, it looks like it, the Rangers are pretty much taking control of that division, 6.5 up. The Indians are currently 5.5 up on the Tigers. The East is looking like it's going to come down to the wire between three teams, Blue Jays, Red Sox, and Orioles. Then we jump to the National League. The Nationals are 7 games up on the Marlins. I think that division's pretty much decided. The Cubs division decided for sure, too. The Cubs are 13.5 up on the Cardinals, and then the Dodgers have a 2-game lead over the Giants. The thing with the Dodgers is they have an MLB high for DL this year, but the Dodgers are still hanging strong. They're still hanging in there, and they're still, if they can tread water like they are right now, and Clayton Kershaw comes back from the DL, and Clayton Kershaw is Clayton Kershaw, they're going to be a tough out. Wild cards right now, you have the Giants and you have the St. Louis Cardinals. Then after that, you got the Miami Marlins, 1.5, Pirates, 3.5, Mets, 4.5. After that, pretty much the Colorado Rockies don't really stand much of a chance being 8. The National League wild card looks like it could come down to the wire as well with, you got the like I said, Miami, Pittsburgh, and the Mets all within 4.5 games of that wild card. So I think San Francisco or the Dodgers, whoever doesn't win the West for sure, they're going to get that wild card. And I'm not going to sleep on St. Louis. I don't like St. Louis. I can't stand the Cardinals, but I'm not going to sleep on them. I think the Cardinals are a team to make the playoffs. And to be honest, Troy, I think that would be the Cubs' worst nightmare, is if the Cardinals make the playoffs. So what are your quick final thoughts on the NL wild card before we let our listeners go?
Yeah, it's going to be a good race. I know living out in Western PA, the Pirates at times, Evan, have shown that they – can be that team. They just went out to the West Coast, had a great West Coast road trip, the Giants. And then they come back home and they struggle and get swept by Miami. And then they drop to the Astros. And you look at this team and go, what's going on? And honestly, it's a starting rotation that is almost completely different from the beginning of the year, but I think it's stronger now than it was in the beginning of the year. I just don't think they have enough gas to catch St. Louis. I agree with you. The Dodgers and Giants, one of those two teams will be the wild card, whoever doesn't win that division. Even though the Giants have struggled as of late, they didn't come out of the All-Star break very well, trying to recover a little bit. And I'm really still, Evan, not even sold on the Dodger pitching. It's okay. But I know Kershaw is on the DL, but I'm not sold on their pitching right now. But like you said, I think you used a great word. They're treading water, and the Giants were playing so poorly that nobody really noticed that the Dodgers weren't playing great baseball, and they kept their lead. So that division is going to come down to the end, and I think whoever's in second place is the wild card. And then, like you said, I look at the teams that are there, and I know Pittsburgh is a playoff veteran team, but their roster is different. But I don't think they have the same playoff experience and the same kind of finishing power the Cardinals have. Last year we talked about this, Evan. There is just something about St. Louis in September.
I know they can't catch the Cubs. There's no way they're catching the Cubs. But I could see, Evan, St. Louis being St. Louis in September. It's almost like I'll call them the September St. Louis Cardinals, because in September they always play winning baseball. Every year I can remember, they just come on strong in September to either solidify a division title or to make a push to catch a team to win a division title. It's just the Cardinal way. And so I'm not betting against the Cardinals. I see the other teams below them, and they're going to keep pushing. They're going to keep fighting. They're going to keep doing those things. There's just something about St. Louis in September that makes you not be able to bet against them.
Yeah, with that, I got nothing else to add, and our show's time has ran out, so I'm going to throw it back to you to let our listeners go.
All right. Thanks for listening in, everybody. For Evan Witalison, I am Troy Otradovic. Fasten your seatbelts, put your foot on the gas. Evan and I will get back at you tomorrow night, 11 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Central. Have a good night, everyone.